Primos, everybody. We're going to deal with something that that appears throughout the entire Torah and has always been a bit of a kasha to me. I know that I have never really spoken about it, although I've mentioned the Ramban in passing. I just haven't really concentrated on this idea. But what is Kares? What does Kares stand for? What does it mean exactly? What are the different opinions about Kares? And then what comes through at the end of the day? When a person is chayav Kares, you'd think this is something that would be obvious or known to everybody, especially if we translate it as being cut off. But what does that mean? What does that mean? So we're going to look at this. The pasuk that I'm specifically concentrating on is at the end of the parsha. Although Kares does appear earlier in the Parsha. It does appear earlier in the Parsha, and of course Kares does exist earlier altogether. People eat chametz on Pesach, that's in Parsha's bow. But here it says the following, anybody who does any of these abominations, referring to the arayas that are listed up above, being together with one's sister, one's daughter, one's mother, etc., they are cut off. The souls of those people are cut off from the midst of the people, of their people. Okay, now, there are six different opinions in the Rishonim as to what exactly Kares is. The Baal Ganel lists them all toward the end of Parshas Shlach when he talks about the Megabe. It does, but not clear. Not clear enough as to what it is. And then he gives his own opinion. We're going to discuss all of these seven opinions, because the Baal Ganel is going to be a seventh opinion altogether. We're going to concentrate on the Ramban, right? The Ramban's opinion is going to be the lengthy one, together with the Rabbeinu Bachai. Remember, the Rabbeinu Bachai was a Talmid of the Ramban and wrote extensively on what the Ramban meant in almost all different places. So we're going to deal with those two specifically, even though the Abarbanel doesn't like the answer at all. As we'll see, we're going to go into it, we're going to try to explain it. So the first one is like this. We're Sagagon and the Ibn Ezra. Both of them, which usually you'll see that the Ibn Ezra does take after the Gaonim in what he says, they seem to say that Kares only affects the body and not the soul, even though the word nefesh is used throughout. Wherever it says the word Kares, the word nefesh is throughout the Torah. He explains the word nefesh can also be used to refer to a body. He says, the nefesh ocheles. A nefesh can't eat, he says. But clearly the nefesh is a reference to the body of the person who is eating. So he goes through and he explains, that's what it's referring to over here. Kares therefore means that the life of the sinner will be cut short. He will die before his time. Not that anything will happen after death, but he will die early. According to the idea, Kares is the same thing as Misa Bidei Shayim. And in fact, the Ibn Ezra and the Rav Sadia Gaon hold that there is no difference between Misa Bidei Shamayim and Kares. Both mean that he dies early, and that's that. Now, the Gemara in Sanhedrin seems to list, yeah.
The age for Misa Bidei Shamayim and Kares is also the same, isn't it?
The Gemara says the opposite. Kares is before 50, and Misa Bidei Shamayim is before 50 to 60, and 50 to 60, and Misa Bidei Shamayim is 60 to 70. Right? So
wouldn't that go against?
So that's that. So yeah. But the Ibn Ezra quite often goes against it. I'm sorry.
But I thought they said that that an average person's life is 60.
70.
It's 60, I thought. 70.
Shivim Shana.
Shivim Shana is 80 if you're exceedingly strong.
Right, Shivim Shana is it. So again, so Misa Bidei Shamayim would be 60 to 70, that's what the Gemara says. 50 to 60, dying in between that age, except for 52, that's a death of Shmuel Armasi, would be Kares. So the Ibn Ezra and Rav Sadia Gaon are fine. They do argue with Gemaras, and that would be an argument that they would have. What's up?
What age do you become Kares?
That's what I was thinking.
What age can you become Chayav Kares? Oh, I'm sorry. At the age of 20. Anything that happens Bidei Shamayim is at 20 years old. That's when you're Chayav Kares. Correct. That's the idea behind it. Now, the problem is like this. According to the idea, Kares is the same thing. But the Gemara in Sanhedrin lists the examples of Misa Bidei Shamayim. It goes through and it says, here's the people who are Chayav and Misa Bidei Shamayim. It does not mention one person who is Chayav Kares. The Gemara in Krisus, the Bezer and Aleph, lists all the people who are Chayav Kares. And it doesn't mention one person who's Chayav Misa Bidei Shamayim. They're clearly separated from one another, and they are not connected, it seems, in that way. It's also very difficult to say that Kares doesn't affect the soul at all. To say that it refers, that every time it says the word nefesh is referring to a body, it's so hard to understand. Why would that be? Throughout the entire Torah, you see the word nefesh in connection with the word Kares. Very, very hard to understand. But that is Rav Sadia Gaon and the Ibn Ezra's opinion. Now, the second opinion is from Rashi. It's in this week's Parsha as well, a little bit earlier. And Parak Yud Zayin Tes. Okay, so the Sifka Chamim explains why Rashi really goes through it in the second time in the Parsha, but not the first. He says, here's Kares. Zaro Nichras, his children are cut off, the Yom of Nichras, and his days are cut off. Now if you notice, both of these things, your days getting cut off and your children being cut off, are in this world. You're still not dealing with the soul being cut off in Olam Haba. Rashi explains nothing else. He never goes any further into saying anything else. He just says, his days will be cut off, he will live a shorter life, and his children will be cut off, his kids will die. Period. And that's all he ends with.
Yeah.
That your children will not die from the father itself and the father. Now the fact is, it does say the word ariri when it comes to two of the arayas in next week's parsha. Ariri does mean childless.
But that means that person will have children.
Yes, but it means if the person already has children, then he's going to lose those children. Now how does that happen? It would have to be that the child continues to do in the ways of the father, or the child is under the age of 20.
So the person doesn't have
the child
kids,
dies by his father.
There's a chance of having children.
Correct. That would be
if
as well.
Have kids, then they might
then they would die. Yes, yeah, that's correct.
For him, therefore, it does affect his children.
Which person?
For the thing.
Okay, that's true, but that's like a siva, you know, from the Torah, that wouldn't exist. There's no such thing as Kaddish from the siva of the Torah itself. So in that way, says Rashi, those two over here,
so
he says nothing else.
So if he dies early, it's a kapara.
It would be a kapara, but nonetheless, well, yes, it would be a kapara. And again, Rashi seems to say again, there is nothing that happens after death. You are chayav kares, you're going to die early, your children are cut off in some way, shape, or form, and at the end of the day, your soul is unaffected. And once it gets to shrine, that's that. Now, as chiluk is, as we said before, what? No.
If you're
No, it's not a bracha to die early, or for your children to be cut off.
Well, not the children part.
Either way, not a bracha. You're not doing no. But his chiluk is that misa bidei shamayim, you die, as we said before, between the ages of 60 and 70, and it only affects him. Kares affects him and his children, and that's the difference between the two. That's the idea behind it over there. Now, there's a problem. The problem is that not every case of kares causes childlessness. Ariri is only mentioned by two. Remember, we just said there are 36 cases that are machayev kares. 17 of them are with arayas. But the others that are there, the other 19, like eating blood and eating chelas, right, or eating chametz on Pesach, or not getting a bris milah, etc., it doesn't say the word ariri by them, right? All of those, it doesn't say the word ariri. It just says, simply put, it's these two cases, and that's that. Seemingly, maybe all of the arayas would get ariri. Maybe. That would be a something over there. But aside from that, it just seems so strange
so
that he's applying ariri to every case. That's a great idea. I forgot what I said. Oh, I don't remember. It's, I forgot if it's daughter, mother's daughter, I think it is, and the other one. Somebody can look it up for me if you want.
So it's one of the arayas itself.
Two arayas. It's two different arayas. Those are the only two times that it says it. It might be sister. I don't remember offhand. It might be the weird sister one, the sister of the other. You'd have to check it up because it's not in this week's Parsha. Regardless, so that's that. So that's the kasha. It's a bininah for all of arayas. But to say that it's a bininah to all krisos, aside from that, it makes no sense to say that a person who eats blood is going to have the same punishment as someone who was together with his mother or somebody who worships Avodah Zarah. I understand, but we know Arias and Gili Arias and Avodah Zarah and Shvichus Damim are the top three, the big three in which a person, there's so many issues with.
Right,
and then you have a person who's what?
Torah.
Somebody who's eating blood? Who eats chalef? It's so strange.
Right, but there's special mood in the Torah for those three. You might talk about how we know those three and learns it out.
Agreed.
There's separate mood in why those three are exceptions to the rule, but here
we are equating everyone, and the same punishment that you get for one is going to be for the other. All 36 would be the same. That shouldn't matter. That shouldn't matter. But either way, and that's that. And plus, aside from that, let's say the guy's 80 years old. The guy's over the age of 70, let's say. Can he never be chayav kares according to Rashi? Let's say he goes at the age of 70, he's like, I'm out of kares. All of his children, all of his children are over the age of 20, so his kids wouldn't die, or he doesn't have any children, right? He doesn't have any kids. He's already 70 years old, so he's basically done. So what should he have? Should he have a chayav and dam party, right? And sit there and just be like, I'm 70. There's nothing that can happen because nothing will happen to your soul. And the only issue is that you're going to die early, but he didn't die early. So is that what you do? That doesn't make any sense. That's number one. And number two, right? Let's just say, yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, even
You're right, you're right. But there's no chiyuv kares, meaning he knows there's no punishment that's been given to him, in theory.
And you don't get the kapara, and
so
therefore you don't get
it's
out.
An obvious, a tongue-in-cheek colloquial question. I agree with that. But regardless, the idea is the same. What are we saying exactly? How could it be this way? So then there's two answers given by Tosus. Tosus in Shabbos, Daf Chof Hey Amud Aleph, give two answers as to what kares is. Both, again, dealing with kares being on the body itself. He says that the difference between kares and mitzvah b'dei shamayim is again through the ages, and that's that, and he quotes the Yerushalmi on that, right? The problem I have is that sometimes the sinner is going to gain, and this is the issue. Let's say the guy is at the age of 30. Now, it seems from Tosos, although this is not necessarily true, a guy who's chayiv kares will die between the ages of 50 and 60. So if you're 30 years old and you're chayiv kares, you're guaranteed 20 years of life. Now, I know that's not necessarily true, and that's probably not what Tosfos means, but it does seem to be what Tosfos is saying, that you're going to die between the ages of 50 and 60 if you're chayiv kares. Well, Baruch Hashem, I just gained myself 20 years of life. If I'm sitting in the hospital, chas v'shalom, somebody, I'm getting very sick, and it looks like I'm going to die, I should be over on one of the chayiv krisis to guarantee me life. Again, I know that's not what Tosfos is saying, but the wording is weird, and how he says it. His second answer is that kares only affects a person when he's dying. Meaning, if he gets sick and dies within a few days, that's kares. Misa b'dei shamayim is that you die early, that you die before your time. And that's the difference between kares and misa b'dei shamayim. That's also a strange answer, because there are many talmidei chachamim who die very soon after they get sick. They get sick and they pass away right afterward. Yaakov Avinu got sick and died a few days later. He says 3 days. He says 3 days. And that's based on a Gemara in Krisus. And I understand it. Sick is really sick, meaning when he's dying, and people look at the doctors give up hope sort of thing, right, where the person is dying, but I don't have that for sure. That just seems what it means. But either way, whatever it is, Tosfos' opinions are both that kares deals with the body, nothing to do with the soul. Tosfos, Rashi, Ibn Ezra, Rav Sadia go, do not mention the soul at all. So the first person to mention, the first Rishon to mention the soul when it comes to kares is the Rambam. The Rambam mentioned in a few different places, a few different areas where he mentions this over here, and it says like this, okay? Now, again, it could be that the other Rishonim are leaving out the soul because there's nowhere in the Torah that explicitly mentions that we have this metaphysical life after death. We get that from Torah Shebaal Peh. And since Torah Shebaal does not mention anything specifically about Olam Haba, or what's going to be when a person dies, Gehenna and anything, Gan Eden, it could be that we're also ignoring it within the parish of what Kares is. Give Kares as something that people understand. That's just not necessarily Rashi's way. It is a little bit strange. But he says the following. The Rambam says, Misa Gidei Shemayim affects the body alone in that he dies early. Kares is a punishment that affects the soul after death. That's what he says. It affects after death. What is the punishment? The soul is cut off. That's what kares is. Cut off from its source and no longer exists. It's gone forever. The soul cannot be brought back. The soul has nothing to do with anything anymore. It's done. It's zero. It's completely destroyed in that sense. Hold on. Other sinners may go to Gehenna and spend 11 to 12 months there, get their punishment, and then eventually get up to Gan Eden. But people that get kares, says the Rambam, are not so lucky. There are no levels. If you get 36 of the chayiv krisis, any one of these 36, you're done after death. There is nothing left after a person dies. The only exception is someone who curses out God. If you're a megadeth and you curse out God, possibly someone who worships Avodah Zarah, although the Rambam doesn't mention that, but the kind of that he meant Avodah Zarah as well, both of them are punished so severely that they die early in this world and they lose their soul in the next world. That they die early and then are cut off completely. Now, there are two major issues with this Rambam. Once again, it seems strange that there is no difference between the different punishments. That somebody who drinks blood is going to be the same as Avodah Zarah is still strange. And to say that the Gemara, which mentions that someone who's chayiv kares is going to die early, is only talking about two of the 36 cases is also strange. That's a stretch. Why doesn't it mention the others?
The first one's not a term in the Rambam.
The first one is
that there's the same punishment.
Well, according to the Rambam that says that all chayiv krisis are the same, yeah, that's different. Note, the wording of how your chayiv kares is different by almost every single time. So you'd think there'd be differences, but the Rambam is saying, nope, they're all the same. All the same category. What's up, Ash?
Something like, does some kind of last when he's 25, and he's just cut off, his soul's cut off for the rest of his life, And then there's no reason to do children. It's gone forever.
I guess you could say that his life might be, you know, his olam hazeh might be worse or better. But yes, in essence, that is a little bit difficult.
The Rambam doesn't tell me teshuva. The Rambam doesn't say you can't
teshuva. Oh, that's true.
He seems to be saying that it's gone forever.
No, he is right. Yeah, Binyamin's right. I should have answered that in the best way, in a better way. You're right. But if you, a person gets malchus, that takes away your chayuk krisus. I'm just going to tell you very simply. There was a famous machlokas back in the late 1500s, early 1600s, around the times right after the Arizal passed away, and whether they should bring smicha back. There is a famous Rambam that says in order to bring smicha back, you need 100 rabbanim to be able to get together, and they can bring smicha back. What would smicha help? Well, if you have smicha, then you could give malchus. You'd be able to give malchus in a regular beis din. Why would that help? In 1492, as we know, there were a lot of Jews who lived in Spain. A lot of them moved out when they saw what was going to happen. Some of them became Muranos. A lot of those Jews, 100 years later, right, still remembered they were Jewish, but did a lot of things that they really didn't want to do, and they were chayiv karis many times over to hide the fact that they were Jewish, to pretend that they were Christian. They were anusim, as we call the Muranos, right, those people. A lot of those Muranos moved to Tzfat and to Eretz Yisrael around the late 1500s, and they came to the rabbis and they said, how do we do tshuva for what we did? The rabbis knew that the only way that they could really do tshuva for karis was through a chiyuv malchus. They needed to get malchus. In order to get, so that's a kasha, but they held yes. So they wanted to give them malchus in order to take it away. So the only way to get malchus is by getting smicha. So they decided they were going to get smicha. So they took 100 rabbanim from Tzfat and they made smicha. They gave it over to a couple of the big rabbanim there, the Alshich, the Beis Yosef, the Moshe Corvadero, the Ramak. They gave it to a couple of the rabbanim. They claim that that smicha still goes through today. You should know, as a side note, it led into a massive machlokus because the rabbanim Yerushalayim were insulted and they said, how did you not invite us to come and bring the smicha back? And aside from that, we don't even agree that there should be smicha nowadays. We don't agree with what you did. They sent the shaylos to the Radvaz, and that's how we know about it. The shaylos to the Radvaz brings down this machlokas, and the Radvaz who lived, Rav David ben Zimra, who lived in Mitzrayim in Egypt, he paskined on the case and said that the smicha is not valid. It's not a valid smicha because they didn't include everyone in Eretz Yisrael, and there were too many machlokasim that they ignored, and they did it anyway. But either way, the people in Tzfat had already given malchus to the people that they felt were chayiv karis in order to get rid of. So yes, there is a way to get rid of karis by getting malchus, and certainly tshuva does have a role in all this. So certainly there's something like that. But if you don't do tshuva and you're chayiv karis at the end of your life, this is what happens according to the Rambam. Ellie, what's up?
Why are you having an argument about what the Rambam says? If the Torah says that you're chayiv karis
because you could say that there's different levels of punishment within karis.
Right, the Torah says that this is what it is. No,
I'm not questioning whether or not it has it. It's just a svara idea. It makes more sense to say that there are levels of karis. There are levels of karis. Granted, but that's what that's really the kasha they ask on the Rambam. Why would it be that there's no differences between all these different types? Of course it could be, right? He just says, I would say, I find it difficult that they would be on the same level when it comes to punishment, and that there's no in-between, no gray area. What are you going to say, Neil?
Just,
again,
this question.
Yeah.
The Gemara talks about, and Yom talks about how karis can be atoned for. Mm-hmm. Besides for teshuva, and forget malchus, and forget smicha, if somebody has yisurim in this world, that will chip away at his...
That's other things. Those are chiv yaseh.
No, but yisurim in general, go beyond that.
That might be from the Rishon of the Gemara, but that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says regarding Chiyuv Karis, what you can do, Chiyuv Yaseh, Yisurin take care of. Right? Goes through, then the Lavin, and then goes through other things. It goes through. No, not taking on Yisurin. That's already a kasha of itself. But it does go through the list of what you can get, of what you do. You're talking about the Gemara at the very end of Yuma, right? Right in the page? Yeah, that's what it says. It says over there are different levels, right, of what you can do. But not that you shouldn't take away just any sin.
Not take away from it, but it's something at a level of karis.
It doesn't mention
that. You have to go through immense suffering and worse.
I hear the svara, but it doesn't mention that. It doesn't mention by Yisurin. It makes sense that it's like, true.
You can already say that specifically. Now, but what about all Yisurin?
I'll just say that I had a Rebbe in Beis Yisrael, Rav Nathan Weiss, who told me something that was originally, I remember, he was giving a share in Derech Hashem, he was talking about karis, and talking about what karis is, and I still remember that a guy got up and he raised his hand and he said, I don't understand. So the person thinks his entire life that there's nothing after death, nothing after death. Like, once you die, you're gone. Once you die, you're gone. There's nothing afterward. So when he dies, he's right. He's right. Nothing happens afterward. And a couple of us like snickered and whatever it was, and the Rebbe Weiss looked at him and said, you have no idea. And I'm sitting there, and I had no idea what he meant either. But I remember seeing, and I don't remember where I saw this, that kares is the worst punishment imaginable. To be cut off is to be cut off from the consciousness of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. To be cut off from everything that's there to our souls, which again, we don't understand, is the worst punishment that can be imagined. See, we're thinking in finite physical terms. So once you're gone, you're gone. What difference does it make? You know, that's that. This is the biggest torture to the person. Yes, to the soul, whatever that means, to that soul, that is its torture. To not exist.
Well, hold on.
There's nothing like that.
You can't be tortured if you don't exist.
That's what you're thinking in a finite physical world. To a soul, there is something, and it does, it's something that no, the moment before, whatever it is, should be like the moment before it ceases to exist. I'm just giving an example to help us understand it. It's a trillion years of suffering. The moment before. Let's call it like that. It's not something we can understand, but that is the greatest punishment that a person can get. Yeah.
I don't know if this is the exact word, but I remember hearing something called
Kapakela. Kapakela, yeah.
Is that what
Kapakela? No, Kapakela is something different. It's like a boomerang. Yeah, that's something for Katakamach, which is something different. It is a form of punishment, like Gehenna, but a different form, which unfortunately should not happen. You're right, except the Rambam says the wording of cut off, meaning that it's gone. That's what he calls it in that way. Now the Ramban. Now comes the Ramban. The Ramban explains that there are three different types of kares. Three different types that are mentioned by the Torah itself. Number one, it says the words v'nichras ha'ish ha'hu. Like when a person brings a korban outside the Beis HaMikdash, v'nichras ha'ish ha'hu. Second one, when speaking about arayas, and later on a little bit, when a person eats kachim while in a state of tumah, it says v'nichrasu ha'nefashos ha'osos mikarav amam. V'nichrasu ha'nefesh ha'hi. And the third type is doubled up. Hi kares ha'nefesh hi avonaba. When referencing avodah zarah, and by the megadik, by the cursor, the guy who out of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now the truth is that the first two types of kares are not referring to different types of sins. They both apply to the same type of sin, and depends. Out of the 36 sins that one can do to be chayav kares, 34 of them are the same in that they'll either be cut off in this world with their body, or they'll be cut off in the next world, depending on other factors. The third factor, the third case, is when you get cut off in this world and in the next world. So let's explain. In Parshas Emor, when speaking about Yom Kippur, the pasuk says, "Bavaditi es nefeshahi, bavaditi es nefeshahi." I'm going to make this soul be lost. The Sifra says that's what kares is. Kares is you lose your soul. Now, if a person is a tzaddik in everything he does, he learns, he davens, he does mitzvahs, he does chesed, he gives tzedakah, he does everything that's there, and he has more mitzvos than averos on the grand scale of things. But one of these averos is something that you're chayav kares on. So he has more mitzvos than averos, but out of those averos, he has kares in there. What will happen? That person will have his years cut short and die before he reaches the age of 60. That person still deserves to go to Olam HaNeshamos, the waiting room that you go into after a person dies. He will still get up for Tchias HaMesim and go to Olam Haba. He will be zochet all that because he's a tzaddik. But because he had one grave sin, that Chiyuv Kares, that makes him die early. That would apply for category number one. That's called Kares Legufo. An example of this kind of Kares Lashonin is in Shabbos Daf Yud Gimel. There's a scholar, a Talmud Chacham, whose wife is going around the different Midrashos, saying, "Why did my husband die? Why did my husband die? Why did my husband die?" That's what happened. And Eliyahu HaNavi went and said to her, "What did your husband do during certain days of Nida?" It wasn't exactly Nida, but it's a cow, whatever. She said what he did, and to that Eliyahu HaNavi said, "That's why he died. That's the reason why he was Chayav Kares." In that way, he was Chayav Kares for something he did, and again, Tzaddik, so he gets Olam Haba, gets Chias Amazon, gets everything, but dies early. That is the punishment that he gets when it comes to this. Yeah.
I mean, the only way you get Christ when it comes to this is just when you have whatever during.
You sure about that?
What?
Sure about that? Go check out the Gemara. So that's number one. As for Kares Liyamin, right, as for Kares Liyamin, right, there's something a little bit different. That might happen to an older man who sins horribly, who had already lived a very long life. He can't die between the age of 50 and 60. So there's Kares Lishanim, that a person could die early between the ages of 50 and 60. There's another Kares Liyamin, in which if you lived a little bit of a longer life, right, you won't live out your allotted days. You're supposed to live to 82, you'll die at 81. That is mentioned specifically in Moed Katan Yuchas Chesem and Aleph. Rav Yosef reached the age of 60, he made a Yom Tov. He said, I'm out of Kares. I'm out of Kares. I'm not Chayav Kares anymore. Even if I'm Chayav Kares, I don't have to worry about it anymore. That's what Rav Yosef said. To which Abaye told him, Abaye went up to him and said, listen, you still have a problem of Kares Liyamin. You may be out of Kares Lishanim, but you still could get Kares Liyamin. So you still have a problem with that. And what's interesting about this case is that actually Rav Yosef was supposed to die a lot earlier. Rav Yosef was told by the stargazers that he was going to be Rosh Hashiva for 2.5 years and then he would die. The stargazers came up to him, which is interesting. But he did, for 2.5 years, he was going to die. So Rav Yosef told Rabba that he should become Rosh Hashiva first. So Rabba was Rosh Hashiva for the next 22 years. And then Rav Yosef became Rosh Hashiva and he was Rosh Hashiva for 2.5 years and then he died. So it's interesting that he made the party when he was 60. It could have been because, simply put, he figured out how to get around his death. He was able to get around it by making sure that he didn't. Yeah.
Just having other people who were Shiva. Keep pushing it off.
That is pretty good. But I guess at some point, when Rabba passed away, there was nobody else as great as him. And his Talmidim, Rava, Abaye, they were around at the time. They probably wanted him there. I would assume that's the reason why. Plus, Yeshua tried that. It wasn't good for him when he pushed off his life by doing that. He died 10 years early because of that. So it's never good to push off the thing. They say that everybody knows the famous promise. This is all rumors and whatever it is about the Frankel Rambams. The Frankel Rambams were Gedalia Frankel who put all the Rambams together with this color. Unbelievable tzaddik. We're talking about an unbelievable tzaddik. He was given a promise by Rav Shach, right? Rav Shach that he would not pass away before he finished the Rambams. But he passed away before he finished two volumes. So I heard from one of my Rebbeim, I asked, how is that possible? He said, he took too long. He took too long. So, yeah, he gave him the promise, but don't delay. Don't be lazy about it. Do it quicker. So,
you know.
Yeah. Anyway, the second category affects the man's soul and not the body. Here's what happens over here, okay? If this great sin caused him to have more averos than mitzvos, this man has more averos than mitzvos, and among those averos, he's also chayav kares. So more averos than mitzvos, plus chayav kares. Okay? That includes any type of error that you can think of, things like that. These people may live to a very old age. They might live an awesome life. They could have all these types of things with wealth and success and everything good. But after death, they're going to have a very, very difficult time. They're called, these people are called Poshe Yisrael Begufan, mentioned in Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Ches. They will go to Gehenna for 12 months. Their bodies are destroyed. Their souls burnt up. The wind comes and scatters their ashes beneath the feet of the Tzadikim in Gan Eden. And that's called Kares L'Nafsho. That is category number two. Now, category number one, category number two are the same types of krisus, but they apply for a person who has more mitzvos than averos, a person has more averos than mitzvos, and kares is involved in either one.
And I remember now when they exist.
What?
We learned this.
What?
Is there a reminder? The reminders for the city when they walk on their ass.
Correct.
Or something?
Correct. They are there. They're there. In that way. The same sin, but depends on other factors that allow you to be there. Now, the third level is the worst of all. The pasuk uses Ikaris Tikaris by Megadev and Ovid Avodah Zarah. Says the Ramban, that means he's cut off in this world and in the next world. He dies early and he's cut off from the next world. He doesn't get to go to Olam Haba. Died at a young age, won't be able to come back at Tikrias Amesim. This level is reserved for someone who worships Avodah Zarah or is Megadeth, right? And Chazal say that someone who stops keeping mitzvahs, lahachis, or darshans the Torah incorrectly, still may be in this category, and that's there. Now, it doesn't say, the Ramban does not say how many mitzvahs this guy has. In theory, this would apply for a guy who has tons of mitzvahs, very few averos, but among those averos is that he's a Megadeth, or he's Ovid Avodah Zarah. It could be that even that guy is included in here, and he gets cut off early in this world, and he loses the next world in that way. But here's the interesting part of this Ramban. It seems clear that the Ramban is arguing on the Rambam. The Rambam said his soul is cut off completely, he's gone, there's nothing left of him. The Ramban is not saying he's gone completely, he's something. He may be ashes under the feet of Tzadikim, but there's something there. There still is an existence to the man's soul, it's just cut off from his regular, what he's supposed to get. There still is something there. That's an unbelievable line. And then he says, in addition, there's ariri. And ariri applies to certain parts of kares, certain illicit relationships, and maybe all of them, that you also lose your children. But it does not apply to the other few kares. It doesn't apply to anything else. Says Ramban, this is one of the greatest proofs that we have in the Torah to the existence of a soul and life after death. The fact that there's kares, and it's mentioned in the Torah, shows us there must be something after death. Now remember, Rashi, the Ibn Ezra, Rav Sadia Gaon, and Tosfos would not say that it's a proof, because it doesn't happen after death. It's only something that you're going to be cut off in this world, but there is nothing after death. But according to Ramban, this is one of the greatest proofs that there's something. If this soul is cut off, then other souls must have something to go to. There must be something for other souls and what they're supposed to do. Therefore, it makes sense that if we wouldn't do anything to it, right, it would continue to be, and there's something there. So really, what is kares? Kares is cutting off the branches of a tree. You're cutting off the branch. The soul is that branch. And it's cut off from the growing tree that continues even after a person dies. That's the idea behind it. The Rabbeinu Chaya goes into a whole thing over here. We don't have that much time to go into it, you know, and explain all of it. But he says, I don't understand. He goes into where's the ultimate punishment, what happens, but he says the following. It must be that there's no thing, and he proves it, that the Ramban is saying there's no such thing as a soul being cut off completely. The Rambam says the soul is cut off completely, says Rabbeinu Chaya. The Ramban is arguing and saying, no, that's not what it means. We see what happened to Korach. Korach was swallowed up by the ground, but even he has a chelik in Olam Haba, according to almost all Tanoim except for Rabbi Akiva.
Those that don't believe in Chesmeitna, that wouldn't have been completely cut off.
That is correct, but there's something. There's something. It is the same with anyone who gets kares. They will be punished for many, many years.
Yes.
They will suffer greatly. They will not get the ziv hashchina, the splendor of the shchina, that rewards you after a person dies,
yes,
but nonetheless it will come back. I'm sorry?
Korach, darshan wrong. That's
it's more than that. It's more than that.
Different opinions on it, but it's still a big tonic.
Definitely because he argued on Moshe and God. Let's go with that one. That's a pretty big one. But yes, there are others, but yes, definitely more than that. But nonetheless, there is, even after Korach, the Ramban agrees, there is some Shefa. There is some Ziva Shechina that's given to it, just not as much, and that's that. He calls it, and it's a really cool idea from the Rabbeinu Bachaya, the soul is kicked out of Eretz Yisrael. He says that Eretz Yisrael is the ultimate place for the souls to gather in order to get their Ziv HaShchina. It's kicked out from that area. Jake, what do you got? So, no, that's really the Gemara that Binyamin was talking about before. No, it's not specifically. Yeah, what's up? There's the idea of Yisurin, it goes through Yom Kippur, it goes through all the different types of tshuva, and then Chiyuv Ikaris is the last on the list, in which you need Yom HaMisa, which would count as well. There. So Hashem is there also. Right. Now Chiyuv Ikaris is not mentioned, right?
Karis and Misa's based in is Teshuva, Yom Kippur, Mitzvolim, the Yisurin Mechapri.
That's the end of the Gemara?
No, the end of the Gemara is about the same.
Wait, that's what the Gemara says?
Yeah. I think the Gemara is based on the Gemara, not the Gemara.
You have to see the Gemara itself. Okay, but we never. I will look up the Gemara. But that's what it's going to be. Yeah.
If the soul is completely gone, then he's arguing and saying that you can do tshuva from your soul.
Correct. Oh, well, I mean, you can't do tshuva. It's after death. But there's something that the person gets afterwards.
So it's not completely gone, which means you can still do tshuva.
No, it's possible. That's impossible. You can't do tshuva after death. It's impossible. There's no way you can do that. Chafetz Chaim adds to this and says that the soul is only cut off, and this is something that's a chiddush. I did not see this anywhere else. Maybe somebody else mentions this and I just didn't see it. But the Chafetz Chaim says the soul is only cut off and gets kares after Gehenim. First you go to Gehenim. You get the punishment that's due to you. And then the soul is cut off. Now that seems a combination of the Rambam and the Ramban. Where the Ramban says, you're going to get this punishment in Gehenim and you're going to be the ashes underneath, etc. And the Rambam says that you're cut off completely. Well, that's unbelievable. That means you're getting both punishments of the Ramban and the Rambam. He says the following. He says, he goes down to the lowest levels of Sheol and he's judged there were terrible Yisurim for everything he had done wrong during his lifetime. And only then does the true kares of the soul come into play. At that point, the soul wishes it could take back everything, but nothing can help it. Not only that, but it causes your children to suffer terrible pains as well, depending on the sin and how bad it was. And there's nothing worse than the knowledge of that your children are suffering because of you, and the soul has to constantly go through pain until Hashem has mercy on them and lets it go. So the Abavanel has issues with the Ramban, and we don't have to go through those issues right now, but the Abavanel changes the Ramban a little bit and says, I think I have a pshat that answers up everything with no problems whatsoever. Every single one of the 36 chayvi krisos affects your body and soul. a body and soul. It does not matter necessarily in that way where only your body gets affected if you have more mitzvos. Only your soul gets affected if you have more averos. No, every single one has both your body and soul being affected. As Rabbeinu Bachai said above, you're not going to be cut off completely. You're not going to have a total cut off completely. There's going to be something which you come back eventually, but it takes years, maybe even centuries, for the soul to be able to come back from these punishments. It all depends on what he did, how he did, and how he did it, and how many times he did it. Now that's something that I noticed nobody mentions. Nobody mentions, what if you do it twice? What if you do it three times? What if you do it four times? What happens then? Nobody mentions that except the Abar Ben El. He says the following: if someone is more mitzvos than averos and also does these terrible sins, he will be punished in this world for his few sins. He'll be punished so that he can get his full reward in the next world. But his kares will cause him to be distanced from his reward for however long Hashem decides that will be for. So here we go. Again, it's a little bit different from the Ramban. More mitzvos than averos. You'll be punished in this world for your averos. You might die a little bit early. You go to Olam Haba and you'll get Olam Haba. But for a little bit of time, however long Hashem deems is necessary for what you did, you will be distanced from your reward and not be able to get it until Hashem says it's necessary. That's number one.
How can you be punished twice for the same life, though?
And that's how, it depends on what he did. Number two, if he has more averos than mitzvos, then his reward will be in the next world. More averos than mitzvos, then your reward will be in this world. You will be rewarded in this world. And the kari sin will cause him to die early and cause the punishments that he deserves in the next world, because he has more averos than mitzvos, the punishments to be even more severe. That's the idea behind it. The double punishment of losing this world and the next world is not only by a Megadet and an Oved Avodah Zarah. It's written by them and taught to everywhere else. The Binyan Av that Binyamin was mentioning earlier. It's taught to everywhere else. Everyone, anyone who is Chayiv Kares will get it in this world and that world, depending on all the other factors. What else has he done? How many times has he done it? How bad of a sin was it? Was there any other sin involved? That's the idea behind it. The application of every Chayiv Kares is going to be different by everybody. Now, there's one issue with this, and it's Targum Onkelos. Targum Onkelos, by every time that it says Kares in the Torah, that a person is Chayiv Kares, says the nich of the yishtitze insha ansha or insha hahu. That person is going to die. Now the word enosh is reference to the body. And maybe that's where Rav Sadia Gaon and the Ibn Ezra and Rashi and everybody else get it from. Rav Ben El says, I don't understand. How could he say that? How could it be that Kares only affects the body? How could Uncle say that all over and over again? It must be, he says, that Uncle agrees with me. And he says the following. Onkelos did not want to use the word nefesh, that the nefesh is destroyed, because then everybody would think that kares only applies after death. He didn't want to say the word gavra. Gavra would be the word that he uses for the word ish. He didn't want to say gavra, because then it would apply during his lifetime. He says that inush must be that it refers to body and soul. It's the in-between word. It's not gavra. It's not nafsha. It's the in-between of both. There's only one place, and he says, this is what the Ramban didn't catch. The Rabbeinu Bachai didn't catch. I don't know how the Ramban and the Rabbeinu Bachai didn't see this. There is one place where Onkelos translates it differently. One place where Onkelos says about kares, nafsha. He says the word at the end of this week's parsha on this pasuk. The pasuk that I quoted, a pasuk kof tes. He says the word nafsha over here. So he says, I don't understand. If every other place he says the word insha, why here would he say nafsha? Because it says, look at the psukim before. These psukim say, this guy is going to be kicked out of the land and exiled, spat out from the land. The word of the pasuk is, kasher kal. You're thrown up out of the land. That's already a physical punishment. So if you already have your physical punishment, then what does kares do? It adds on a spiritual punishment. That's why in this place where there's already a physical punishment happening, Uncle says, and your nefesh is destroyed. He only mentions the nefesh over here. Says the Abar Ben El, that's a pure riot of me, he thinks. Every other place it's referring to body and soul. Here it's only the soul, because the pasuk is already dealing with the physical punishment. He says, this seems to be a tremendous pshat that was granted to me from Shemayim to be able to explain what the Rishonim meant. Maybe there's a way of answering up these Rishonim. I'll tell you honestly, I didn't have enough time to be able to go through all the different answers that the Rishonim have, and there is quite a bit of Meforshim that's speak about the Rambam that I could have gone through that I didn't go through that explained everything over here. But at least we now know what the punishments are. At least we now know that these punishments are there. And according to Sabarbanel, it's a tremendous idea. You get both. According to Rashi, Tosfos, Ibn Ezra, and the Rasad Yigon, the punishment is only in this world. According to the Rambam, right, it's really in the next world, although there's a little bit. And the Ramban, it depends. And the Sabarbanel is the sort of the nucleus of all that. But it's a crazy idea. At least now we'll know when somebody says you're Chayiv Kares, you'll say it's bad. That's what you're going to do. You're going to say it's bad. That's good, everybody. Let's stop and borrow.